And I hope that's why you're here this morning, to honor and praise Jesus Christ. That's what I'm here, to honor him and to praise him. You probably think I'm here to preach at you. No, I'm here to honor and praise Jesus Christ also. Open your Bibles with me. The book of John, chapter 8. Verses 3 and 4. John, chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. John chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. And then the scribes and the Pharisees brought him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery, in the very act." You know, Jesus' life, I know that the only way that he carried on his mission here was only through the power of God in him. Because Jesus, to me, you know, lived a very stressful life. He knew how to handle it because he had the Father in him, unlike me, that sometimes when I'm stressed, my wife could tell when I'm stressed. Jesus had spies everywhere he went. Imagine if I had elders following me wherever I went, making sure I did the right thing and said the right thing. Jesus always had people that were trying to accuse him, always trying to find something wrong with him. And in one occasion, the priests and the Pharisees sent officers to arrest Jesus. And when they came back, the officers, the guards, they came back, and the Pharisees and the leaders asked them, "Well, where's Jesus?" I like the response that the officers gave to the Pharisees. Chapter 7 of John. He said, "We have never heard a man speak this way." In other words, when the Roman soldiers went out to arrest him, they were all mean and tough, and they were going to arrest him. And they stood there just for a little bit, and they heard what Jesus had to say, and Jesus just melted their hearts. They probably didn't want to accept it, but that's what happened. They went back, and I don't know, maybe they were even now a little bit more mellow. They were just like, "You know, we've never heard anyone speak that way before." These spies continued to try to find something wrong with Jesus. One day for Jesus, it had been a very long day, a lot of work. I think Jesus put in more than 16 hours a day sometimes. And he was tired. You know, Jesus was also human. He was human. He was tired, and he wanted to take a little bit of a rest. So dismissed the people, and his favorite place was the Mount of Olives, a place where he could go. And we would probably go and crash, just and sleep it off till next morning. But you know what? Jesus went to the Mount of Olives to be re-energized. What did Jesus do? He went to pray. That was his form of resting, communion with God. And so he went and he prayed, and probably the disciples were sleeping. I don't blame him. I would have slept too if I was that tired. Early the next day, Jesus was back at the temple. He was teaching, he was preaching. And then this is where he was interrupted by the Pharisees and the leaders. And they came and threw a woman at Jesus' feet, which tells me that the Pharisees and the religious leaders of that day did not know Jesus Christ. Why? Because you do not throw a sinner at Jesus' feet. Because as a sinner, that's where I would want to be, at the feet of Jesus Christ. So these men thought they were doing this thing, and they threw this woman at him, and they accused her of violating the seventh commandment. They caught her, the Bible says, in the very act. That must have taken some planning on their behalf, don't you think? And then they asked him a question, and then the question is found in John chapter 8. Verse 5. Here's the question that they asked Jesus. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say? Now remember, spies, Jesus knew that they were always trying to find some fault in him. This is what Moses commanded us. And the question is then placed to Jesus, well, what do you say? Jesus, the wisest man in the world, because his wisdom came from God, even wiser than Solomon, because I believe that it was Jesus that gave Solomon his wisdom when he was in his right mind. That is Solomon, not Jesus. Jesus does not answer right away. And you know, you and I need to understand that at times, that when we go to Jesus, he does not answer right away. And sometimes we're a little bit impatient because we want the answer when? Of course, right away. It's just like, you know, there are 8 billion people in the world, and our prayer has to come to the top of the list, right? Because it's important. And there's a woman, the Pharisees, the one accusing her. And Jesus begins to see the hearts of the accusers. He begins to read their hearts. And it's not just the look that Jesus would give them. See, Jesus' look would penetrate past the eyes. And I don't know if you ever had someone looking at you like that, but you know, when I'm in front of psychologists or psychiatrists, they sort of have that look, and you're kind of like, don't make eye contact. Because they're studying you more than what you think, you know. And Jesus had that. But Jesus went past that, and he went right to the heart. I suppose Jesus said, you know, I'm not going to waste my time answering questions or trying to debate with them. I'll just write some things here on that maybe dusty, kind of light dust that the temple might have had there in the steps. And he started writing. And the scribes get just a little bit impatient. And they probably probably continued asking, well, what do you say? And Jesus rose up and looks at them and says, if any one of you is without sin, just throw the first stone. I mean, that didn't sound good for the lady here, okay? She's like, oh no. If anyone of you is without sin, throw the first stone. And Jesus did not hear any stones being thrown. As a matter of fact, what happened was they were kind of like here, and he just said, if any of you are without sin, throw the first stone. And they probably had rocks in their pockets. But all of a sudden they got interested in what Jesus was doing. I'd be interested too. I could just imagine the first Pharisee. And I don't know if Jesus had him by alphabetical order or not, but a favorite book of mine on the life of Jesus Christ, the Bible doesn't mention it, but that book does, that what Jesus was writing there was the sins of every individual that was accusing. So I don't know if I, you know, Pastor Mancia, I got an appointment to go to, fellas, see you. And then the next one, what did he see that he had to leave? And Jay, I just remember my wife has lunch for me. One by one, they all left while the woman was crying. They all left. All gone. And then Jesus turns to the woman and he says, where are your accusers? And through the tears and through her hair that was all over her face, she cleans herself up and tries to see where they were, and she sees, and well, there are no more accusers. And Jesus, sweet words. Well, neither do I condemn you. Go in peace. Go and sin no more. Not just go, but go and sin no more. That is the plan that Jesus Christ wants for each one of us. When we come to Him, He forgives us of our sins. Yes, He does. But He smiles at all of us and He says, now go and sin no more. And it's interesting that sin no more, the power that we receive to sin no more only comes through the power of Jesus Christ in our life. You know, Satan sort of works the same way like with the Pharisees. Satan goes out, sets the trap. Satan comes back and starts tempting us, doing this, trying to get us to go to the trap. He leads you to the trap. Sometimes he even pushes you into the trap. And when he does, and when we fall, then he runs back to Jesus. He runs back to God and says, look, when we come back to Jesus in repentance, Jesus, in his love, the love that he has for each one of us, accepts that prayer that we offer to him in repentance, and he forgives us of all of our sins. And then he goes a step further than that. Being forgiven is a nice thing. I love being forgiven. Do you? And then Jesus takes another step. And he makes us righteous. And so what is the difference? I don't know if some of you might be, you know, they call recovering alcoholics. They are always recovering alcoholics. For the rest of their life, that's what they call themselves. When Jesus forgives your sins, the promise is that not only will he forgive your sins, but he will make you righteous, which means that in the eyes of Jesus Christ, he will treat you, he will treat us, like if we had never committed that which we were forgiven of. Why? Because he loves us, and he wants to spend eternity with you. So he comes, we ask him for forgiveness, he forgives us, and then he says, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Jesus was with his disciples, and he instituted something that's very interesting, and I'm not going to go into all the detail of it this morning. But the washing of the feet. Jesus was with his disciples there in the upper room, and he girded himself with a towel, the scripture says, and he started washing the disciples' feet. When he came to Peter, he said, you're not going to wash my feet. Jesus said, Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you don't have no part with me in the kingdom. Peter then says, I don't want just a foot washing. I want a whole bath. Jesus said, it's not necessary for me to rebaptize you. All you need to do is to wash your feet. And then he asked us to do this to one another. For what? I see it as a mini baptism. Because when you and the brother are praying, when you and wife are praying, as families, as friends, when you pray, there is forgiveness that will take place. Do you believe that? Amen. And so do I. So as we participate in the foot washing this morning, in this ordinance that Jesus Christ himself said that we should participate with each other, remember that it is about forgiveness of our sins, but also is about being humble enough for the King of the universe to lower himself, if you want to call it, and wash the dirty feet of 12 men. So humility and forgiveness. Two things that sometimes I struggle with. Two things that I know that sometimes people struggle with. Humility and forgiveness. Let us pray. Father, I want to thank you for Jesus Christ. And we want to thank you for the sacrifice that he made on our behalf. And we want to thank you for forgiveness, the forgiveness that he offers us. And not only that, but he offers us righteousness. Father, as we participate this morning in the foot washing ordinances, I pray that the Holy Spirit may work in our hearts. May we understand that we're doing this to prepare ourselves to commune with God. Forgive us our sins and humble us. I pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.